a nice Tuesday morning in Las Vegas, and you are waking up with the sun. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Great shows coming to you every morning here on KUNV from the Las Vegas Sun. Recording it here in our podcast studio. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Taylor Byrne. We're down one today. Ray Brewer, not able to make it.
Inmates running the asylum today. We have full control. And that was, you know, once again, we've filled this role once, but that was a pretty good Ray Brewer impersonation you did there, Case.
I told you, I couldn't.
Your time with him, it's clearly rubbed off on you.
Yeah,
it's
well,
working.
On the spot, I couldn't think of anything else to bring us in except for to emulate Ray Brewer, except I tried to knock out the weird, throaty voice, or I don't even know how to describe that. What's the voice he does half the time when we start the show? It's like,
good Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. That's not it.
Yeah, it's a little bit further. It's like he comes from his chest or his
throat. Yeah, it comes from something deep inside that I don't think you or I possess yet.
And I think it's good. Yeah. I don't want to possess that.
I'm not prepared for it.
So you just got off of a very interesting call that we were monitoring coming up, a huge UFC event. Anderson Silva, usually kind of a mild-mannered guy, but my Twitter was blowing up with everybody just talking about how he was, he's going to set a new record for violence in the sport. He's going to take out every tooth, I believe was...
it's going to be difficult, but that's what he said.
So I just kind of run me through this because a surprise I'm taking it for everybody on the call.
A big surprise. We record on a Monday afternoon here at the Las Vegas Sun podcast studio. So really a big deal next week, UFC 148, as you mentioned, in town. Obviously the media rush is just starting this week. These guys will be given so many interviews over the next 2 weeks. And I think when people called into this conference call today, they kind of rolled their eyes, weren't looking forward to it. You know, Chael Sonnen, Anderson Silva's opponent, is going to say some ridiculous stuff and, make everyone laugh. But Anderson on these conference calls, you know, he's been in the UFC 7 years now, 14 fights, undefeated, but he never says anything. He just seems annoyed by the media. The last time before his fight with Sonnen, he refused to give any answers other than yes or no on the conference call. And he gets on today, and I don't understand Portuguese. They had a translator, of course, but he's just like yelling in Portuguese. It sounds like he's screaming at the media. And I was like, man, I can't wait till they translate this. And the translation definitely didn't disappoint. You know, right from the beginning, he said Chael is a criminal because Chael was indicted for mortgage fraud in Oregon. He doesn't deserve to fight in the UFC. I'm going to break every one of his teeth, which I immediately started thinking, how do you break, like, those molars, like the teeth in the back?
Yeah,
is that even possible to break?
Because you would, I think you would have to pull them out to break them.
Yeah. So first he's just going to break all his teeth, and that sounded good enough. But then, he got asked a couple more questions, started yelling some more, and then started saying he's going to break his leg, that he's going to need paramedics to carry him out of the octagon. And, like, look, this is kind of ridiculous stuff that you hear some guys say sometimes in all fighting, but it was just the source that it was coming from was just so stunning because literally this guy has never said anything like this before. Dana White, the UFC president, was stunned. Dana's really a big stickler for media and making guys do their media. Well, Anderson Silva got so fired up that he hung up. He basically said his piece and was done, and Dana didn't even care. He said, I've never heard Anderson like this in 7 years. I've worked with him. I'm not going to make him get back on the call. It's fine. And then, never one to be outdone, as you can read on my story on LasVegasSun.com today, Chael Sonnen also hung up. He had nothing else to say either. He's got to feel pretty good about this because he's been trying to get this kind of reaction out of the guy for, you know, going on 3 years.
Do you think it was genuine?
I think it was pretty genuine. I know you don't, follow the stuff as closely as probably some of our listeners, or I do, of course, since I cover it, but Chael has just said so many ridiculous things about, especially about Brazil. This fight was originally supposed to be in Brazil. I mean, he just says, I was trying to think of some of them I could say, without getting too graphic here, but he's insulted Brazil. He really made Anderson mad. He's on this whole kick right now where he says, he said some stuff about Anderson's family, which Anderson just really got fired up about. He said something like if Anderson wouldn't fight him this time, he was going to break in his house, beat him up, slap his wife on the bottom and make him cook a steak just how he likes it, medium rare. So he's got this whole medium rare thing going on, and Anderson, I think that really kind of pushed him over the edge.
That was really good. I mean, I like this guy.
This guy is just pretty unbelievable. One of the smartest guys I've ever been around, but he uses it to kind of create a character to be a shtick, even though he denies it. It's pretty obvious.
And if the fight had been in Brazil, would he have basically had to, like, watch his back the entire time he was down there? Because if you say his trash talking is not only against Silver but against the entire place, you know, what would that have been like for him?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's the thing. I think it's good for him.
Is that why it wasn't there?
No, that wasn't why it wasn't there. It wasn't there because there was actually, they were supposed to do a big soccer stadium. There's a UN conference, and they didn't have enough hotel rooms. So it got moved, but he did go down there for a press conference, and I think it really would have been a big safety concern. The UFC had to have huge guards, you know, bring him into this this press conference, and surprisingly, he didn't tone down his thing at all. He said, hey, you know, I don't know why everyone says I have any problem with Brazilians. I just, you know, when I was growing up, I would sit around on my porch with my friends, and we would talk about things like American ingenuity, video games, technology, and there would be the Brazilian kids like Anderson throwing mud at each other on the other side of the street.
Oh, my God.
So he didn't tone down his words at all. Wow. And, I mean, these Brazilians, they have a lot of national pride. I mean, you see what happens at, like, these soccer games, so I think it would have been pretty bad.
That would have been awful.
Yeah, yeah. And also he said, you know, this is one of the funnier things he said. I want to make peace with you guys here in Brazil, so I've brought you a bunch of gifts from America that you can't get down here. He said, I got soap, shampoo, deodorant. So, I mean, the stuff that guy said is just so off the wall and so ridiculous that it really has made some people mad in Brazil.
When was their last fight?
August 2010. Chael, obviously, if you don't know the history, just beat him up really good for about 22 minutes and then got caught in a submission triangle choke, to which he denies that he lost. He says, in no country in the world does a man beat another man up for 22 minutes, then another guy wraps his legs around the guy's head for 5 seconds, and they declare him the winner.
Did he tap out?
Yes, or? He did tap out.
Well, then what
but the? He's acting like he doesn't know the rules of the sport. Yeah. So and it's been a long time coming. A lot of obstacles have been in the way to making this rematch happen. Of course, there was his, which I mentioned earlier, his mortgage fraud conviction. He tested positive for heightened testosterone levels after the fight, got suspended for 9 months. So there's just been all kinds of things that haven't made this fight happen. Now it's here, and it's going to be a really big one.
What's the line?
I haven't looked since it's open. I think the line is about Anderson Silva 3-1, which, you know, a lot of people after watching the last fight would think that's crazy, but he was about 5-1 the last fight. I mean, look, this guy is still the best mixed martial artist of all time, and I don't think there's really much arguing about it. He says he had a cracked rib in the last fight but decided to fight anyway, so he has some excuses.
This is Anderson, correct.
Okay. So, yeah, I still think he's about 2.5 or 3-1 currently at sports books.
Is that the way you would go? Is with Silva?
You know, I wouldn't bet it, but I certainly think that Anderson's going to beat him this time. I mean, this guy, just his striking is just unbelievable. It's so far above anyone else's. Now that he seems so motivated, I do think he'll probably knock Chael Sonnen out. But look, Chael Sonnen is a good enough wrestler to be in the Olympics. I mean, he's an unbelievable wrestler, and if he can, you know, dump Anderson on his back like he did in the first fight and just unleash on him, unload strikes from the ground, then that's going to be a big problem for Anderson Silva. So I could see Chael winning a couple rounds, but I see the finish coming this time for Anderson Silva to kind of cement his legacy. He's getting up there in years now. He's either 36 or 37. He's made millions and millions. The thing is, MMA is actually really mainstream in Brazil. Behind soccer, it's the second biggest sport. I mean, he has endorsement deals with Burger King and all these big companies. You know, he's making really good money, and I don't think he's a guy that wants to fight forever. He's got kind of the financial security that he doesn't have to.
Now, jumping over to your other beat, from fighting to gambling, World Series of Poker, and it has been going on for a while, but now we're starting to kind of get into the good stuff. What's coming up at the? I think it's the end of this week.
Yeah, everyone thinks that it's a slow time. Well, not really for me. This time of year, it's so much going on. We're about 40 events into the World Series of Poker, but you know, the three really big ones that everyone's looking forward to going on this week, or the main event, of course, starts in 2 weeks. Right now, the $50,000 Poker Players Championship, kind of the tournament for all the pros. eight-game mix. That kicked off on Sunday. It'll get over Thursday. And that's always a fun one to watch. There's so many pros. All the big names are there. But then it's kind of been overshadowed this year. There's about 100 entrants, which is probably better than they thought it would do. It had about 125 last year. But it's been overshadowed because Sunday, the $1 million buy-in tournament, which is just ludicrous, begins. They've actually got about 48 people, I think, committed. I think, or maybe they have 46, the cap. They said they were capping it at 48. But I got to think if some more guys come forward with $1 million, they're going to let them in.
Who's going to turn that down?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and the other thing is that, you know, instead of keeping the money, you know, the normal rake or whatever that Caesars usually takes, it's all going. This whole tournament is for the foundation, One Drop, which is owned by a local Cirque du Soleil founder, Guy Laliberté. Actually, he lives in Montreal, but obviously, Cirque has a big presence here. So all the money, all the rake, the percentage that Caesar's taking is going to his charity. So, I mean, if a guy wants to pony up $1 million and they're putting, I don't know the exact figure, but a ton of money to that charity, I don't think they're going to turn him down. But, I mean, this tournament just has more buzz than anything I've ever been around. I mean, people can't wait to see, you know, these guys play for, you know, $1 million. Because even $50,000 to some of these guys, like, that's a lot of money. But some of these guys, they've made it. They've made it so big in poker. They've had so many endorsement deals that it isn't like really that it's not that big of a deal for them. But to anyone except for the billionaire businessmen that are in this tournament, there's a good handful of them. To all the poker pros that are in this, $1 million is more than just a chunk of change. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Are they getting like are kind of the mainstream names in that $1 million one? Like is Phil Ivey or Phil Hellmuth or, you know, kind of those type of guys?
Yeah, yeah. Hellmuth is actually not one of the ones committed of the 46, but after he won his last bracelet, he said he would play. So I fully expect to see him out there. The problem is with him is he has this thing where he only registers late to tournaments. And if they're really capping it, he can't really register late to this one. Ivey is definitely in it. Some of the other big names, Tom Dwan, Jonathan Duhamel, who won the main event 2 years ago. That was one that actually surprised me. I mean, he won $9 million winning the main event, and he's had a lot of success since then. But still, I mean, some of these guys that have been around for a while, you know, the Ivies and the Jason Merciers, I mean, they've got millions from these sponsorship deals. Duhamel's still kind of a new guy on the block. I hope he's making sound financial decisions. $1 million is a like I said, that's a big undertaking.
And you mentioned the billionaire businessmen that are kind of putting themselves into it. For the pros, are they, do you think, or do you know, using their own money, or are they getting kind of backed by certain people who would then take a percentage?
I think the majority probably entered with their own money. Some definitely have some sponsorship backgrounds. Daniel Negreanu, of course, a really big poker player. He's also in the field. I'm sure that, you know, these guys that are sponsored by PokerStars, which is still has a big international presence, I'm sure PokerStars is ponying up some of the money for them to be in it. But they're having to put some of their money up. Jason Mercier, who I mentioned before, pretty interesting. I read a story where he, and I think we've talked about this, he bought into the $1 million event, but he's selling 1% of himself to anyone who wants it. So you can pay, I think, $10,000, and then you get 1% of whatever he makes. So if he ends up winning, you know, 13 or 14 million for first place, you can get you know, 130,000, 140,000.
God, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Are they paying top three or four or how?
Actually,
top nine maybe.
Yeah, actually, you were spot on for most World Series of Poker tournaments, which I'm guessing is just kind of blind luck. Cause I know you don't follow it closely, but most tournaments they pay 10% of the field. So if there's 46 like this, they'd pay 4 or 5. But I think they are expanding it since it's $1 million. I think, and you'd have to look to be sure. If you look on LasVegasSun.com later this week, we'll have all the details. But I think they're paying 7 or 9 as of right now. So they're kind of doubling how many guys get paid normally since it is such a big event.
You've got a little poker playing experience. Even the other night around the table, taking down myself and some of our colleagues. You know, if you were in this at a table with, you know, $1 million buy-in, just kind of what do you think that type of money does to your game? Are you able to, do you think, still play the same type that you would if you're just playing for $20? Or do you think you would be affected by it.
Well, so I think I would definitely be affected. I would be so scared to make any moves. I'm like, man, that's $1 million. Think about, look, I love poker. I love playing, but there's a lot of other things I'd rather do with $1 million. And I think that's the big question of the tournament is these guys these guys have made their living by not really worrying about the money, not worrying about how much money they're betting with. And, you know, they take gigantic swings. When you play poker for a living, you just have to accept that variance as part of it. And you're going to go through, you know, where you lose $400,000 or $500,000. But,
oh gosh,
but you know, but if you're a good enough player and you know the game well enough and you've tracked your play for long enough, all that matters is over, you know, millions of hands, are you going to be ahead? And most of these guys are able to separate themselves from that, but it'll be interesting to see $1 million on the table. I certainly don't, I think it's less of a question for guys like Ivy that we've talked about. I'm trying to think, all the big cash game players have played in games this big before where they have $1 million on the table, but that's only the absolute top level guys. I think some of these other guys that have agreed to join it, you know, the Phil Ivies and Tom DeWans, it's one thing. But for some of these other guys that aren't known for those really high stakes cash games, it'll be interesting to see how they respond if they play the same.
How upset would some of these pros be if, you know, a businessman came in and took down this tournament?
I think they'd be pretty upset because I think that part of the reason why we're getting this many people to commit to playing is because they see a lot of value in it. Because this isn't, despite the fact that it's $1 million tournament, this isn't as tough as maybe the $50,000 tournament where it's just all pros.
You only have to beat like 45 people.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to, how many does the main event get?
About 6,000, 6,000, 6,500, 7,000.
Yeah, and this, and the payout is higher for this than the winner.
Yeah, the payout will be higher. And it's just that the main event actually is a pretty easy field too, because a lot of people just want to come play to say they've been in the main event if they have 10,000. But this field is pretty simple when you think there's 15 or 16 guys that have dedicated their lives to being, you know, the best businessmen in the world and probably know poker but don't know it. They don't know it to the level of a Phil Ivey or some of these other guys, a Phil Hellmuth. So they really see some value in this, and I think that's why they jumped on. And another reason why they'd be upset if a big businessman won it is because you wouldn't really have a chance to get your money back. So a lot of these guys aren't like hanging around here playing cash games. Some of them, I shouldn't say all of them. Some of them are. Andy Beals, who's the oil magnate for years, has been playing with pros down at his mansion in Houston or whatever. There's some crazy stories about, you know, like $5 million swings between Brunson and Ivy and him. But a lot of these guys aren't giving the money back. So you think if they win, they're taking what poker pros like to say, they'd be taking like $13 million out of the poker community. It's not going to get passed around. So I think they'll be pretty upset. But I would lay a pretty high price that I think a pro will win this. I'll be very surprised if one of these businessmen, definitely a couple of them will cash, but I don't think that they'll win.
Yeah. I think the only advantage they have is I would liken it to like a, maybe not professional, but somebody who's very good at chess. You would think generally if they're playing somebody who is not particularly good at chess that they have the clear advantage, and they do. But occasionally then if you're just playing somebody who doesn't know what they should be doing, then that like chaos can put you on tilt, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely could. And I mean, I guess it's hard to group all these guys together because some of them certainly know what they're doing, and but some of them just are not on the same level. Look, Guy Laliberte, love what he's doing for the charity. He's a really good poker player, but you know, if you've watched him on TV, he's been on high stakes poker a lot. He's not at the same level with the guys at the table with Phil Ruffin, who owns the Treasure Island. Is another guy that's in it, and he was on the last years of high stakes poker, and he just went on the biggest heater ever and made like $500,000. But, and no offense to Phil, I actually know Phil Ruffin, but he had absolutely no idea what he was doing. He just went on the biggest heater and won so much money. That seeing something like that, like him and Guy Laliberte, seeing them play, I just don't see them having much of a chance when you're playing with this deep a chip stacks over a 3-day tournament. I think that I think the skill is going to win out in the end.
Of the kind of poker pro names that, you know, someone like myself would know, you know, I keep saying Ivy just because he's one of the main ones that I know is kind of still around. When you're kind of covering them, talking to them, just kind of watching them play, what's your impression of who would you most like to hang out with outside of a poker room of kind of these guys? Like who's kind of got the personality or seems like they would be fun to hang out with?
Wow, that's That's pretty interesting. I mean, just for the intrigue, you'd have to say Ivy, but he doesn't seem like he's not the nicest guy.
He seems kind of quiet, right?
Yeah, he never talks to the media, especially this year. He hasn't granted one interview. I think you knock out Helmuth because he's...
Oh, that would be awful.
As good as he is, he's the biggest, got the biggest ego of anyone around.
How many fights would you get in if you just like hung out on the strip for 2 hours with Phil Helmuth?
Yeah, that's very, very valid point.
Over under 2.5.
Yeah, very, very likely. I mean, Ivy, for the experience, you could say just to see him, you know, bet crazy $1 million on craps or some of the legendary stories that he does. But I guess I'm looking at the list right now of the guys in it. Supposedly Tony G is playing, who you may not be familiar with, but he's really made his name in business now. He owns PokerNews.com, and this guy is just...
Is he any relation to Kenny G?
No relation to Kenny G. He's totally off the wall at the table. He's always brings a lot of action, crazy player, talks a lot of... trash, I guess. He is a really good...
He and Sonnen would be able to hang out well.
Tony G's a really good underdog pick for this, and he actually hasn't been at the World Series this summer because he's the coach of, like, the Lithuanian national basketball team or something like that.
That is awesome.
But apparently he's playing in this. I think he's one that may be in the conversation for that, and another guy I mentioned, Daniel Negreanu, who just seems like one of the most personable guys and also hilarious, and he seems like he'd be pretty easy to get along with, pretty easy to hang out with.
My impression of him is that, like, he's always on. Like, he's always performing for people. And so I would be curious then, like, if you got him, it was just, like, you and him hanging out, watching a game at Palms or something, if he's, like, still very much kind of the showman trying to make you laugh, or if he ever just, like, kicks back.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that he would be like that most of the time. But I could be wrong. I think he's definitely on the conversation.
Yeah. Who do you think would be most likely to attend our rec league basketball game and support our team?
Our rec league basketball game.
If we got Phil Helmuth there, can you imagine what type of a home court advantage that would be?
I think he is not very likely to show up. I'm looking over the list right now. I don't think any of these guys are. Oh, Johnny Chan is playing, another really famous name.
Sorry, John. I don't remember.
He doesn't come around much anymore. But he's playing. Maybe I was trying to think of an athletic guy. Patrick Antonius used to be a tennis pro. He's one of the biggest high stakes players in the world.
We could get one of them to come and maybe even help us.
But I doubt he would.
Considering
play.
We're 0-4, we could use the help.
Yeah, there's a couple younger online pros that I'm surprised are ponying up the money. Nick Schulman and Justin Smith. Both those guys seem like they would maybe come watch a rec league basketball game. Maybe I'll go with one of those two.
I'd like that. Open to listeners as well. 6:15 Valley View Rec Center. If you want to come watch Case Kiefer and I, we are actually expected to win on Tuesday.
I think we're favorites.
We are favorites. I asked Case on Thursday, our last game. Both of us were working in the office and not feeling particularly good. I asked him if he could take us +18. Would you? And he said yes. I said no. We lost by 20.
It was close. The line was about right.
I made a good line for it, but did not turn out well. Well,
and here's the thing that bugs me about this league, because we all paid to be in this league. We were down 20.
We paid to get killed.
We were down 20 with 156, and they call the game. We got mercied.
Yeah.
If we could have had that extra 156, I think we could have cut it down to 17, and we could have covered.
We could have covered. They did ruin that. But we've been mercied in 3 out of 4 games.
But we played well in the fourth.
That's the funniest thing. And let's see. Other personalities you may know on our team, Brett Okamoto. Covers MMA for ESPN. Ryan Green covers the Rebels for RunRebs.com.
Former friends of the program.
Yes, for Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Co-worker Tovin LePan, Las Vegas Sun. You can hear him on Waking Up with the Sun. I believe his show is on Thursday mornings with Mr. Patrick Coolahan.
And we play Thursday at 6:15, too.
Thursday, Valley View Rec Center.
Tovin and Patrick have their own show?
Yeah, I believe so.
What do they talk about?
Everything.
I knew Patrick did. I think
Tovin was a new addition. They need some fresh blood.
Why haven't I been a guest on this show? I've been on the Las Vegas Weekly show a couple times, and this one sounds a lot more interesting.
I believe that their show is way over our heads. which knowing both gentlemen would be accurate, because we're in here talking about which poker players we would like to hang out with and why we're 0-4 on the basketball court. They're dealing with real issues about life.
Underwater economic downturn.
Yes, we're clearly not in our comfort zone so much. But yeah, so besides the UFC coming up, kind of a this was something I wanted to bring up, the boxing matches on September 15th. We discussed this. There are going to be two competing events going on the same day, and I believe Case, I think you were the one who said that it was not a good idea to book a fight when one of the headliners still had a fight to go. We all, even you, I think, said, you know, it's not a good idea. Of course, we expect Victor Ortiz to win. Well, not so much now. Lost on Saturday. I think he suffered a broken jaw.
That's what he says. I haven't heard, pretty controversially, quit on the stool after the ninth round.
No mas.
Which people couldn't believe, even though he had a broken jaw. I'm not one of these guys that sits here and says, like, oh, you should endanger your livelihood for fighting. But, you know, with a broken jaw, I think there's been a lot of fighters that have fought through that. Some people afterwards in his interview were saying his mouth sure is moving pretty all right for having a broken jaw. I'm surprised he didn't fight through it. He was up on everyone's scorecards. But I guess the silver lining is he wouldn't have been able to fight September 15th either. He was supposed to fight Canelo Alvarez at MGM. On the same night as Sergio Martinez and Julio Cesar Chavez, like you said. I guess Top Rank and Bob Arum are the big winners out of this, because they had the competing show with Martinez and Cesar Chavez. They both were going to be on pay-per-view. Now the other guy, Canelo's fight, will not be on pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's going to Showtime, I believe.
Yeah, Showtime. And
which is great, because I can watch him. And because he was the undercard in the Mayweather fight that I covered, and I'm, you know, excited to watch him fight again. I was hoping it was going to be against Ortiz, but you know, that's not the way that the cards fell, I guess.
Yeah, I'm still excited to watch the fight. I've followed Canelo for a couple years now, and really exciting guy. And he's fighting another guy. At least it's rumored right now he's going to fight another undefeated guy. Last name Trout. I don't think he's any relation to Mike Trout.
I believe that he is. Unconfirmed reports that I am just saying this.
At least the guy's undefeated, so you got two undefeated guys. Canelo's undefeated, right? Or does he have one loss?
I think he's undefeated.
Okay, yeah, there are two undefeated guys.
Wasn't Ortiz undefeated going into Mayweather?
No, he lost one other fight because he quit.
Okay.
That's what I couldn't believe is that he got so much. He defended himself so much and argued about, you know, mm-hmm. why it wasn't a big deal that he quit the one fight. That was the whole lead up to Mayweather. And then this Josecito Lopez fight, he quits once again.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Rough.
Garden City, Kansas time. Native. I think he was repping KU Sig Ep on his trunks. I saw somebody tweet.
I've always seen KU, but the Sig Ep.
The first time, apparently, that a fraternity has been repped on a boxing trunk.
You know, and I know a lot of people that know him, and everyone says he's a nice guy, but from my impressions with him, he's a nice guy, but also kind of strange. He's a very weird guy.
He's one I'd like to hang out with, though. I think he could be fun.
Yeah.
As long as
we would have a lot in common.
Yeah, as long as his jaw is working.
That does it for us today on Waking Up with the Sun. Thanks for listening.